The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Going down Bayman Road, I can't lick nobody. Don't lick nobody. Don't lick nobody. Don't lick nobody. Don't lick nobody. Going down Harrow Road. Going down Robinson Road. Going down Carmichael Road. I can't lick nobody. Don't lick nobody. Don't lick nobody. Don't lick nobody. Don't lick nobody. Bullfrog dressed up in soldier clothes. Went to the river just to shoot some crows. Crows smell a fire and they all fly away, Lord. Bullfrog get back, Sandy cry all day. Bullfrog dressed up in soldier clothes. Went to the river just to shoot some crows. Crows smell a fire and they all fly away, Lord. Bullfrog get back, Sandy cry all day.
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Monday, the 7th of July, 2025, and you are on the 52nd Independence Calendar of Events. Monday, the 7th of July is National Day of Unity, where we are prompted to promote kindness, respect, peace. Engage in activities and events that foster conflict resolution and unity, reinforcing the bonds that hold the nation together. I have in studio with me this morning Mr. C.A. Newry. I have independence questions for him today. We're going through the news. What's in the news, of course, the headlines, I think, that should be grabbing the most attention. This is a national emergency. Today's Guardian: Pintard outlines FNM's plan in response to alarming teen mental health. The mental health report itself. Also, other headlines in today's news: lawyer accused of disorderly behavior acquitted. And I'm going to turn to the Tribune headlines. Ministry of Finance used as private ATM for chosen few. Opposition leader Michael Pintard speaking there. I also have some headlines from over the last few days. Man survives one crash only to be killed in hit and run. 18-month sentence for pinning man against wall with his vehicle. Cause of Victoria Court fire still unknown 2 months later. Superintendent Quincy McGregor of the Fire Services Department told the Tribune on Friday that the investigation is ongoing. He was unable to provide a timeline for its completion, but said there are many, quote, moving pieces, close quotes, involved in that matter. Let's hope that due to the, I guess, the scope of the destruction, that the insurance providers involved will prompt, encourage, or even better, compel a speedy investigation. Because that language is just far too familiar and it's frightening. It's frightening. I'm 49 years old now, and it's frightening to continue to hear this investigation ongoing. We don't know when we'll have the result. Speak to that. We don't have a timeline. Over and over and over again, it has become frustrating. All right, the numbers to call today, 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316. That's 325-4316. 325-4259. 325-4259 and 242-300-5720. Here's a quick positive story in the news for you. New Maritime Recreational Complex opens. The LJM Maritime Academy opened a new recreational complex yesterday at Arawaki. The complex will not only expand training for cadets, but also give them an opportunity to unwind after lessons. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis said the government is partnering with maritime organizations to expand protection of Bahamian waters and borders. Davis said that developing well-rounded mariners is a core mission of the institution. Davis said the outreach programs will help young people to progress in their spare time. Former president of LJM Maritime Academy, Brenda McClair, expressed her gratitude to sponsors and others who have shown support along the way. The new complex will feature a swimming pool, a tennis court, and a basketball court. This is great. This is fantastic news, a great initiative. I just got one little tiny question. What is it actually? Maritime Recreational Complex opens. Turns out it's LJM Maritime Academy, a new recreational complex. But it says the complex will not only training for cadets, but also give them an opportunity to unwind after lessons. I'm just not quite sure what it is. Is it open to the public? Is it a training facility? Can service-based NGOs like Boys Brigade, Girls Guide, Rangers, that can young people hire out the space for training opportunities? It's very, very interesting. It just seems as a lack of clarity. I'd love to know more about that idea. Family rescued after sailboat partially sinks near Plana Keys. Two adults and an 8-year-old were rescued on Monday after their sailing vessel became partially submerged near Plana Keys. In a press release, the U.S. Coast Guard explained their air station Clearwater air crew rescued the family and no injuries were reported. The helicopter crew deployed to Operation Bahamas Turks and Caicos as OPBAT from Air Station Clearwater located the family aboard a life raft in 2 to 3 feet of seas. The part I'm looking for here is, here's a quote. After receiving a call from a Good Samaritan regarding a distressed vessel, the RBDF reached out to nearby islands and vessels for assistance but received negative results. There's a lot in there. First things first, Mr. Newry, remember we were talking about the Mariners Association's public lobbying around the introduction of new fees and protocol changes in the industry. One of the stories that arose was, a critique from stakeholders about the implementation of a new policy requiring boats of a certain length to have a system called AIS, mm-hmm. which I think is like an automated identification system. Minister of National Security, when referencing it, said that it's a great tool to assist authorities in locating boats when they're in distress, right? I think this is a perfect example of why a boat like this should have had one of those systems implemented in it. Producer, let's prep the phone line. The other concerning thing is RBDF reached out to nearby islands and vessels for assistance but received negative results. RBDF, we really don't have sufficient assets to be able to deploy in a reasonable amount of time. Are we relying? I don't know, as we approach the 52nd, coming right now, caller, please hold the line. As we approach the 52nd Independence celebrations, we really can have conversations about the allocation of national and natural resources if we want to. And I think this is one of those instances where we must consider, given the archipelagic nature of the country, if we are diverting sufficient resources to national security, border control, and border monitoring and territorial monitoring. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Hey, right there, man. Okay, we've talked about all type of different topics, right? We've talked about maritime. We even talked about rockets, right? But see, I know you don't, because I don't know him out about this, too.
Okay, but this
the coastal community has adopted him, so now he in the mix with this hell.
Okay.
How come you have not spoken about that dirty mess by City Market? You see how disgusting that look?
Village Road, Wolf Road?
Yeah, that's the entrance to Fox Hill. You talk about everything else, nothing else concerns me but Fox Hill. You should be talking about, that should be the main thing you talk about. You don't drive the way?
I could be honest with you, from Village Road to the
Jerome. I don't know what you were talking about.
Man, you ain't, let me tell you, from Village Road to the Jerome Avenue roundabout, if I could, like, fly over that little strip of land, I would. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't want it to not exist.
Well, I'm just
But, you know.
You
would think, hold on, let me just say this. You would think that there would be more police presence in that area, hey. But there isn't. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, they decided to do a number two on the Fox Hill community. Remember when they drop all the fill and sand and date and concrete and everything there?
Yeah.
Right? But you don't talk about it. No one else from Fox Hill.
I still, listen, you know,
I can't even blame Fred Mitchell for this, because guess what? He ain't born and bred in Fox Hill.
Listen, I born in the, I grew up in one of the bougier parts of Fox Hill, right? And
yeah, but Miss Green,
hold on,
if
man,
you're front
you
front
let me tell you my story. Why you wouldn't let me tell you my story?
Okay,
you already feel like I can't suffer what y'all be suffering in Fox Hill because I live in the bougie part? You know how many times my power gone off yesterday? How many times your power went off yesterday? That's a good question. Thank you, caller, for inspiring that, for reminding me. I tried to push it out of my mind. I spent yesterday not even reimagining, but reliving a pre-1992 Bahamas. And let me tell you what I mean. It's people who say, oh, you only had one little power outage. Some of us didn't even experience the power outage. How you could declare it a pre-1992 Bahamas. Surely one little power outage ain't that bad. It's not the one little power outage. It was at least two little power outages. It wasn't that part as much as, like, nobody really knew when the power was coming on. Once I figured out why the power went off the first time, we want to say thank God for preserving life. The vehicle that collided with the 40-foot pike pole, BPL pole, I imagine it's one of the new ones, most recently erected, Marathon Road north of the mall, caused quite a bit of chaos yesterday. Let's go to the phone line, and then I can tell you about the pre-1992 part. Good morning, caller.
Hey, Aaron, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good, thank you. Morning.
Awesome. Listen, with the myriad of things that have gone wrong in this country in terms of infrastructure, it is no surprise why we keep on coming onto the airwaves talking about these things and yet no resolution. A few weeks ago, I recall there was a conversation regarding the main thoroughfare Bay Street heading east from Elizabeth Avenue towards the bridge.
East of East Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Aaron. The entire, you see, when your city center looks like garbage, it tells you how the rest of the island probably represent. And, you know, if the roadways from there, which is your main thoroughfare, listen, that is like going through Gaza with the potholes, with the manholes inches below the level of the roads, the humps and the bumps inside the road. It is not a smooth road. My shock absorbers had a workout
on
that strip of road. And if we don't get this thing right, you know, in the entire of Bay Street, and especially Shirley Street near Sacred Heart Church, where the tree roots are running all underneath the road, and yet our people seem as if we are, I just don't know what to say.
Hold on, it gets better, right? A lack of clarity, a lack of coherence, right? A lack of notice, and lack of preparation for what you are going to experience on the road. I want to say to the team that was working on the Eastern Road yesterday, thank you for operating a traffic management team, as you are required to do, right, by policy and regulation. Unlike many of our service providers, BPL, BTC, Alive, they don't like doing it. They feel like it's a problem to follow the regulations. Put that aside, right? When these things, when people are experiencing these things, why do they lose all control of their senses? Why do they act like, because the road is bad, I'm now authorized to ignore traffic controls and do whatever I want to do on the road? Like, you mad at the government, so you're going to punch your neighbor to show the government how mad you are. Yeah.
Well, Aaron, all I can do is tell you, you know, it doesn't seem as if it's getting any better in this place. They put road bumps, they put speed bumps down. The white triangle's not painted on there. Lincoln Boulevard got some. Miami Street and the other areas through there, they put speed bumps down. There's no white triangles to indicate that speed bumps, new speed bumps are down in the road. Nothing in this town. Signage is out the window. There's no signs anywhere to indicate nothing anymore. But yet, you see, this is, you know, the government ministries, it falls back at the feet of the cabinet and prime minister. You know, you're responsible for ensuring that these agencies are running efficiently, according to the manifest that they signed up to, and nothing in this town.
And listen,
to be working fine. But I can close on this one note again, and I'll say it again. Fix Bay Street running from Elizabeth Avenue going all the way to Montague. That entire stretch needs to be repaved. The stretch between Mackey Street and Darswell, not Darswell, and Doctor's Hospital, that whole stretch needs to be repaved, especially in front of Sacred Heart Church, where those three routes is becoming a havoc for many people in their cars because it's breaking up these vehicles. And we all know vehicle repairs in this country is not cheap. But thanks for taking my call this morning.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phone line, and then we can talk about the need for proper signage with all the tourists in the place driving the wrong way down one-way roads. Good morning, caller.
Well, good morning, Aaron. You know, very excited to hear the last caller. But those tree routes by Sacred Heart Church on Shirley Street are what we call organic speed bumps. Yes, you don't have...
Yeah, we ain't talking about... Listen, don't be running... Okay, watch this. I don't like how we use the term organic, especially in reference to Bahamians. I don't like that this rhetoric is popping up. And I can tell you why. Most of all, because y'all don't even use rhetoric properly. Quote, the Joshua generation, you know the people who use that rhetoric, the Joshua generation, they think they're the Joshua generation, you know. I was in a room where a group of people shut down this young man who's trying to have a who's trying to contribute to the conversation. I mean, they shut him down and tell him he's talking foolishness, right? And then one old head get up and talk about how we just waiting on our Joshua generation, the Joshua generation. We waiting for our time. The young boy name was Joshua, you know. The young man's name was Joshua. And the same way, this organic Bahamian rhetoric, it can't work. You know why? Because for something to be deemed, to be labeled organic, an organic certifier must certify that it's organic. And an organic certifier must be trained to certify that things are organic. That's not really, yeah, no, we're not using it anymore, please. It is xenophobic. It is problematic. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron Tuss.
Good morning.
You know, Aaron, I would throw a little stick in your organicness right now.
Listen, but if you try sell me some organic mango from off your tree, miss.
Amen. I am organically me, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
So, anyway, talking about the road work.
Yeah.
From, like you say, east of East Street. I don't know, remember a while back, Bahamics went there to do some paving, and in the midst of their trying to do their work, they were stalk cold turkey, lack of a better word, on told by Ministry of Works that Waterworks needs to get in there before they can do anything. That's the reason why that road.
Bay Street.
Now, we all know it takes Ministry of Waterworks to do their thing forever and a day. Look how long they were the one that hold up Village Road. Okay? In case the people did not know.
Hold on.
Now,
you remember
the
hold on.
Holding up.
You remember the big road works?
Yes. That was the reason why it was hold up.
Well, that was a big reason why.
Yeah, it was the major reason why.
Yeah.
Now, there were other stuff that took place that could have been done, that was actually done prior to them completing. That's why I said I don't understand why they go and dig up the road if they know they don't have the equipment to replace whatever they're digging up. You understand? But
yeah.
For the road work, that tree on Shirley Street there, I don't know if you know, there was a tree like that in Fox Hill.
Mm-hmm.
On the curb by the food store and the church.
Yeah.
They dig that up.
Well, did they dig up the whole thing, or did they partially they cut the roots?
Exactly. And there was one in the meantime on Hospital Lane. They dig that up and they just cut the roots out of the road. So why is Shirley Street any different? Look how long that was there.
Yeah, I can be honest with you. We had a similar situation where I live, much smaller, small scale, right? You think the guys, they cut the route out? They pave one hump in the road. These by them pave a hump in the road. I was so distressed.
But, I can believe that.
Yeah.
I can believe that. But then I think what I found out recently is the, I'm trying to find the team name that is responsible for putting out the road works list.
Ah.
The team at Ministry of Works.
Mm-hmm.
That is the civil design.
Okay.
Civil design. They are solely responsible. They even patch. They are the one that gives the directive as to where to go.
Okay. Who's responsible?
I found that out recently.
Who's responsible for making public notice, making sure there's a traffic management team, and making sure they have enough cones?
Well, like I say, the road works being placed out is the job of civil designs in the Ministry of Works Department.
All right.
So I guess they would be responsible for that if they are the one putting out the works.
Okay. They may tell you they're only responsible for publishing the list. But listen, thank you very much,
mm-hmm.
cousin. I got another caller on the line.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. There we go. You called right back. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. Can I say naturally occurring speed bump in place?
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, I didn't mean that other stuff.
Okay, good stuff.
Naturally occurring phenomena in front of Sacred Heart Church.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, we would tar over that rather than cut the road, cut the route, and do it properly.
Yeah.
But what I really wanted to comment on was Bay Street. We put a temporary patch, is what I'm hearing, until Works comes and finishes it. But my question to you is, after 51 years independent, if they wanted us to have all new roads in this country, we would have had them by now. I mean, you look at United Arab Emirates, and they tar 16-lane highways.
Yeah, but they have like, you know, they got like $17 trillion just to play with.
We have trillions of dollars that we don't even play with. This country dug for oil and found it, and natural gas, and I'm not saying we should touch that, but we have resources gone to bed. And so we're taking the money to do all kinds of things. I mean, before you fly around the world with your friends, family, right? Shouldn't you tar the people's road? I have a friend who works in customs.
I got you with that one.
Yeah,
absolutely. I appreciate that point right there.
Okay, well, thank you. And you should at least fix your hospital or build a new one before you travel.
Oh, yeah.
Your people first. What have we done in this country in 50 years that has affected the masses of Bahamian people to their benefit, not detriment? I mean, like how VAT hurt them. What did we do to help them?
My friend in customs says
his road ain't been tarred since Penland was in.
Customs officers like to live like, you know, they like to live foul. My daddy was a customs officer. Wherever they live in, you get paved the road to get there. They like that. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Great show as usual. I'm baffled about this phenomenon, right? It's been troubling me for the past few months. Is there a secret with persons whose surname is Bean?
Whose surname is what?
Bean.
B-A-I-N?
B-A-I-N. Why is it that the majority of persons I know who are Bean speaks Creole?
Cousin, what you doing?
I never noticed that.
What you doing? I heard this. I heard somebody start telling that joke this weekend.
Recently, there was a listing of Haitian surnames,
mm-hmm.
and the Bean family is listed amongst them. But we do forget that there are Fergusons who are also in the Haitian phone book. When we had a migration of Bahamians to the south to work and in at the what did the United States own that during 1923? And they took over, they invaded Haiti, occupied Haiti. Thousands of, I'm exaggerating here, thousands of Bahamians moved to the south.
Not necessarily an exaggeration, right? In 2003, at the College of the Bahamas, it was College of the Bahamas at that time, at the College of the Bahamas symposium, right, they hosted a conference, symposium full of presentations. The one that stood out most for me, a trade historian, economics and trade historian showed us data that at that time it would have been 50 years ago, fast forward 20 years, so roughly 70 years ago, there was many Bahamians doing trade in Haiti and living and moving through Haiti as there were Haitians living and moving through the Bahamas, right? Mm-hmm. It's like we have a nationalist political narrative that we're trying to overlay on a cultural historic narrative, and the two of them don't line up necessarily. But don't come surreptitiously with this thing. Don't do that. We don't do bigotry like that. We don't do xenophobia like that. If you're going to have a controversial position, be bold enough to present it plainly.
And we must also remember Bayntown, the Bayn brothers who, Bahamians, mulattoes who established housing for upper middle class black people to give them housing. And this is like 1700s, right? Just given history and context of the Bayn family.
I can show you what.
Bayn O'Dandres, also a separate family.
What it would have been great for the 50th Independence celebrations was an assessment and Bahamian names, or the origins of Bahamian names.
Okay.
I mean, we could have done that for the independence celebrations.
Maybe something we can start.
Yeah.
I'll start.
It didn't have to be government. It could be private sector, sort of private agency driven. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
I hope I helped.
Hi.
You definitely. Good morning.
Morning. So is there a problem if there is a Haitian connection with Bean?
No, there isn't a problem if there's a Haitian connection with Bean, but I can tell you exactly why I hit the button. Because this weekend, I saw conversations popping up, which appeared on the surface to be just attempts to stir up strife and mischief and tensions between Bahamians and Haitians. It came to me like political rhetoric and mischief, right? And so what I'm saying is, I want you to be plain and on the surface with what you're saying. Don't use my show, right, to spin this narrative. That's what I'm saying. Because the conversation I saw seemed to me to have the intent of stirring up tension between Bahamians and Haitians, anti-Haitian sentiment, and I don't like it. Okay? And the same way we're having a conversation, or we're witnessing a conversation as we sit on the sidelines with the U.S. as it reforms and evolves its immigration policy, and we are highlighting the ways in which the Bahamians belong in the Bahamas, producer prepped the call, because of how we have helped to build the United States of America. See, Carnival Cruise Lines is saying that they're about to ban hip-hop and urban dances on their cruise lines because people are just out of control and not behaving properly, right? Which you mean you're just going to ban hip-hop? You're not going to ban genres of hip-hop? You're not going to ban certain activities, but you're going to ban hip-hop as a whole? See, here's where the Bahamas comes in. The Bahamas is integral in the rise, the evolution of R&B to hip-hop. That's us. From Joseph Spence, straight down to Tony McKay. That's us. We responsible for that. The other West Indians. And you're going to ban the whole thing? And the Bahamas is a cruise destination country? Right? And so the same conversation I will have there, you don't think it's fair for people of Haitian descent to herald the ways in which Haitians have helped to grow the Bahamas? Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning, Mr. Nuri. I hope you're doing well this morning.
Good, thank you.
Ms. Green, I noticed some of that rhetoric, too, that you're talking about, and I don't like it, you know what I mean? I don't like that type of rhetoric. But I have a question for both of you, because I had thought about it before. And I was hoping that maybe if y'all don't have the answer to it, if it's a question that is, if it's a good enough question, y'all probably could seek out the history of it. But before majority rule and when the black people in this country were like fighting for equal rights, I don't think the Haitian was a problem then. You know what I mean? My other minority folks, we had a problem with. But my question is, when did the Haitian become the problem? Like, when did we switch our attention from the minorities who used to deny us our rights to our Haitian black brothers and sisters? Because, like I said, prior to majority rule, and when we were fighting for majority rights, I don't feel as if they were the problem, because my grandfather used to tell me how they used to interact with Haitians and how the boat used to come from Haiti, and everything used to come from Haiti, and they used to go down and purchase all type things and boats coming from Haiti, say Haitians used to bring everything here. So I'm trying to figure out where in our history or when in our history or what is it that caused the shift that we all of a sudden forgot the minority and start to make Haitians our problem. What is it that caused that switch in our mentality, if you all understand the question I'm asking?
Absolutely. Let me answer, and then I can let Nuri answer. I can tell you when we try to force a political construct like nationhood, nationality, on a cultural, historic, and cultural experience, right? They're different. The political construct of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas forces out the Haitian experience, right? You can't talk about Bahamian, right? It's Haitian. And this political construct called nationality makes it difficult to talk about these other things that are very real. I would say, like, in an authentic or valid way. So I appreciate what you're saying. Same thing goes for music, right? Gombe, like the 40s, Haida Gombe. Gombe was a Bahamian sound. All kinds of foreigners came to the Bahamas to make music with that sound. Right, the way we perceived or talked about access to the Bahamas, right, belonging, participating in Bahamian life was different. And we fast forward through these majority rule and the evolution of political constructs, and now we are at a place where we are fighting every day about what is Bahamian music. Right, and so that's a part of the answer.
No, I like your response. The Birth of a Nation, 1973. Circa 1973, the people who we were deporting were Turks Islanders. We wanted them out of the country. Mm-hmm. It was a big issue with Turks Islanders living in Grand Bahama. They were getting deported left, right, and center. As we became independent and we started defining who we are as a people and defining our borders, right? They said, these are what is Bahamian. And then the 1980s with the Haitian crisis with Papa Doc, Baby Doc, and there was mass
migration. You mean
migration.
Them two Inaguans?
Yeah, the Inaguans guy. The mass migration of Haitian immigrants who moved from the southern Bahamas more to the northern Bahamas. Mm-hmm. The government decided to secure their borders. And they secured their borders and said, we are nationalists, we are Bahamians. This is what the Bahamians are going to be defined as. And with the increased numbers from 1980 onward, Haitians became a problem in a long and short way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope that helped too.
There you go. Let's go to the phone line, and then we're going to read the text. Good morning, caller.
Love the show always.
Thank you.
If we were to create, say, like a sovereign ledger, and attempt to put a burden of inheritance. Let's put a weight. Okay, let's just look at it this way. Based on our national debt, every Bahamian owes spiritually $28,000 because this ain't no real. This is some feel comfort money, you know, just to be discomforted with it. But I'm saying now, if we would had proper idea of how many people in this country, we'd be able to distribute that national debt more equally, because I think there are more people, which means that 28,000 might be 10,000. You follow where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
And the lack of the ability to create a sovereign ledger is something that probably might not have been enshrined in the Constitution or in the minds of persons who say they want to be leaders, you know?
Mm-hmm.
See, sense, Aaron, I'm sure you would know, a symbolic insurance policy that prevents us from being erased, okay? And you see it come into play when there's hurricanes. That's when that particular ledger is squeezed and increased. So why can't we go down the road of creating a ledger so that we can know exactly where we are? Why all of this secretness, man? I mean, how many babies were being born to undocumented persons today that could improve the debt? You follow what I'm getting at here?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we, man? Seriously, we need leaders. Not that these others, those here cannot pivot, but this is something you have to be born with. Because then you'd be thinking, create a sovereign ledger. You'd be thinking about a sovereign loan to pay each citizen maybe $100,000, which would be like four or five times as much as the debt. You'd be thinking along those lines, like that boy down there in Africa, what's your name? Abram Traoré.
Ah, Burkina Faso.
But yeah. See, he's thinking along those lines. People we elect aren't on that level. They haven't graduated there yet, Aaron, and that's the problem the Bahamas has.
Different experiences, you know, born, different culture. Mm-hmm. And fortunately or unfortunately, right, his experience has forged within him a different perspective.
He can't help himself, you know, and, you know, when you really think about it, it is actually proverb that foreigners will actually take over your country if the country is in chaos. That's but Deuteronomy somewhere.
Listen, I'm going to pick that conversation up next week. Definitely a spotlight on West Africa, what's been happening over the last several
months. Thank you much.
No, man, absolutely. Thank you. Let's go to the next caller quickly.
I just wanted to say, yeah, Aaron, that the Bahamas does a census every 10 years. We continue to do census in between. So mm-hmm. We know exactly how many Bahamians are being born or how many people are being born every day. And regarding Burkina Faso, it's a dictatorship government, right? It was a coup. We have no clue what is happening there, save the information coming through by bots, Russian bots on social media. Other than that, nobody knows what is happening in Burkina Faso, because that's news has come out of Burkina
Faso
yet. That's
what the people in Meguana are saying about Nassau right now.
Yeah, but at least the boat travels.
Yeah, what you're saying is correct. What you're saying is correct on the surface. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Miss Green, and good morning, Mr. Nuri. Good morning, Bahamas Papio.
How you doing?
Thank God for life as usual. I was wondering, what is the solution? Everybody have their own opinion. They have their solution, what they think should be and whatsoever. I'm glad to know you say you don't like it. And Mr. Neri don't like it either. So I was wondering, what you suggest to us as a people, what we could do to make this right or to make this better, what seems to be a problem. Not saying that something is wrong, you know, what seems to be a problem, this challenge we have. How do we make this right, Mr. Neri or Ms. Green?
Ms. Green,
I have a question. Did you hear on the news, they were saying a group of Bahamians, them, sent a letter to Marco Rubio complaining about what's happening in this country. Next
show. Yeah, so we can talk about that in the next hour.
Okay. Keep up the good work, y'all.
Absolutely. What is the solution? I can tell you what the solution is right now. We have to do what Sir Lyndon Pinlan said. Right. We should be prepared to do. If you want your country, you have to fight for it. Now, the part that he didn't say out loud was, if you need to have three or four jobs, you have three or four jobs. That's it. That's it. That's the answer. You don't want a proliferation of migrants in the country. You have to do all the jobs. See, this is another thing. You're trying to, like, overlay a criminal construct on a historic and cultural practice of migration. People migrate, people move, better resources. This is millennia, right? It is the construct of nationality and false borders. Borders that didn't exist and don't actually exist, you know. They don't actually exist physically. They're just lines on maps. If we try to overlay the two, that the answer is we need to be prepared to do all the jobs all the time. Three or four jobs. But see, we have a problem. We have more dollars than cents of self, of place, of space, of belonging, of time. We have made money our culture. Across the board, I want to get to... don't worry, Texas, I'm going to get to the text line. I want to get to a couple of stats from Bull School Health Report in the Bahamas, conducted by the Ministry of Health and Wellness. This is the third Global School Health Report. Here are some stats. Chronic disease risk factors also worsened. Overweight rates climbed from 17% in 1998 to 40% in 2023. Although food insecurity improved slightly from 44% in 1998 to 31% in 2023, only 6% of teens met the recommended fruit intake, and 10% met the recommended vegetable intake. And there's another specific stat to that I want to, about obesity, that leads you to understand that in 20 years, if we don't have migrants, we will not have a labor force.
Yeah. Mind you, the politicians already mentioned that. No, we have a labor crisis in the Bahamas. We have a shortage of labor. The people, the migrants that we're complaining about is filling that shortage. And in turn, and your point was, if you're not prepared to work three, four jobs, then the migration will continue.
Yeah.
And that's what the problem is.
And see, this is why I want to continue to talk about the dangers of ignoring the drug era and its impact, its symptoms, its consequences, its impact on us, because we don't know where the money came from. We don't know how all of this money got into our economy. And we don't know what is required, not just to maintain the economy, to grow it at the pace of development that y'all want, the quality of life that you want. I'm telling you, Kate, so callers, I see you. I come in. This stat is from report, 1 in 5 teens attempted suicide. Another of the startling trends was obesity among Bahamian teens, who have the highest rate of obesity in the region. Bahamian teens have the highest rate of obesity in the region. The report found that 40.4% of teens were overweight, compared to 9% in 1998. That's, 27 years? In 27 years, we went from 9% of young people were overweight to...
We need to have a separate conversation on this and with solutions, if this is so. If this is a national crisis, government need to take over the dietary and food distribution in schools. Cut out the food vendor.
The pad cake, the honey bun.
Yeah, cut them out all together and have a cafeteria in schools.
So I agree with you. I want to get to all of the texts. These, get into it. I really want to get an expert, like either an advocate or a stakeholder in a professional industry. The advocate may be both. And the same, we could delve through it some more. But these stats on suicide?
Yes, it's ridiculous.
Let me tell y'all something, y'all not paying attention. Same way you don't pay attention to red lights and stop lights, it's the same way you're not paying attention to your children.
20% is a lot.
1 in 5. This place is depressing. Y'all are depressing. It's scary. And young people are navigating these spaces with little to no real support. Okay, caller, let's go to the phone line. I'm sorry, last two callers. I had to get those stats in. Good morning, caller.
Yes, hey, good morning to both of you. One of the things is that, by the way, when you talk about the depression with the kids and everything else, I think I talked about this last week, in the fact that we need to know where our children are. I mean, and we are small enough to be able to track them, whether it's from a health standpoint, health and wellness standpoint, educational standpoint, any of those different things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that 21st century talk I'm having, you know, we still work on the 20th century type aspect of it. But in the same respect, when you talk about immigration and migration and our labor force, I see that we have these work program and these different things we establish with BTDI and everything else. But you know the one thing that no one can give me in the Bahamas, an actual survey of our current skill set, the current compensation value that's there, as well as the anticipated needs of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like you say, we have finally found solutions. We just need now to find the problems to apply them to. And so...
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so when you even talk about immigration and migration, the problem we have is again, we don't document anything. Like I say, we're probably one of the few countries that actually sell citizenships where we just... If you can't afford it, they'll give you a work permit. So you just stay here while you earn your income while you work. And then you'll just apply 6 years or so, then you can apply for citizenship. And this is for the whole, where you say you can track immigrants. We can't tell who is Bahamian citizens, who is not, who is born here, who is not. Because you just have to sign things, make an affidavit, all these different things. But technology solves all of these different things, from migration to deciding the skill force of the future that we want. We hear them talk about these 41 different economic models. Nobody can tell you the skills that we need. The good thing about that is that, you know, can't tell you what they actually are that they're talking about. And so other than that, they'll probably just open the door and let people in. And so it's like we love talking, right? But we have very little strategy for doing anything. And I tell them all the time, if you can present to me a written policy or a strategy for any of these announcements and pronouncements that has been made by the government over the last, say, decade or so, I'd be happy to pay a finder's fee for those type of things so we could actually know what is it you're planning. You know, when that government is telling you we're going to go with the orange economy, bring me the blueprint. I won't pay for that one because that one is a multi-trillion dollar economy. I would really like to understand how we can do it in the Bahamas.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I get ready to coin a term, Mr. Nuri, the orange print. For the orange economy, the green print for the green economy,
I like that.
And the blueprint for the blue economy. Okay, let's get to the text lines. Good day. Do you remember when cartoon characters had catchphrases? Don't have a cow, man, Bart Simpson. You just listed off our politicians' top five or so. That was from the top of the show. Morning, Aaron. I watch Beyond the Headlines on Friday. The guests were Leslie and Garth. Chaniques asked them about PLP candidates who will be selected or not. Will be selected. They replied by telling her who the PLP will be. They didn't stick to the topic, which is stupid. That's what the texts say. Instead of them sticking to the topic, they lean more on the FNM side and criticize them. All she wanted to know is how they felt about the PLP candidates. The PLP said they ain't announced none yet.
They ain't planned to announce none anytime soon.
I got some stories, you know. There's a little bit of conflict there. They say, I thought they had a date, but then my power went off last night and I had to stop reading. Morning, did you all saw the lady on video saying... So Lyndon was a gangster and a drug lord? No, I did not see that. It's good that we didn't see that because you need proof to say things like that. You need P-R-O-O-F-E-V-I-D-E-N-C-E, evidence, proof, to say things like that. She said, so Lyndon would have loved that picture. I think she should be arrested. We shouldn't stand by and let these types of people get away with this. I want to see some action against her be done. Now, what did she say? Did she say, is it possible? Did she say, what if? Did she say, allegations are? You know, let's be careful.
Yeah, the commenter was an artist, and she's trying to do commentary. It was reckless, but I don't think criminal charges. Someone just needed to talk to her. Talk to her about history. And like you said, where's your proof?
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. We need to fire most of these people from Ministry of Works. They could work in the night. Ms. Green, I don't know why, Dexter. I don't know why. Here's another text. Good morning. There are approximately 400,000 people in the Bahamas, inclusive of all foreigners. Haiti is a country of 12 million people with another 4 million approximately in the diaspora. So the Bahamas is 3% the size of Haiti by population. Is it wrong for the Bahamian people to be concerned about the large and ongoing influx of Haitians coming into the country? Should the Bahamas not protect its border and expel illegal immigration? Let me tell you what is wrong. Here's what's wrong. What they call that? Is that like a straw man argument? What's that literary mechanism they're using there? I'm going to say this once again, because you seem like you're a serious advocate for whatever your specific issue is. I shall refer you back to the Minister of Foreign Affairs, who's also... ad hominem, who's also the MP for Fox Hill, who's also the chairman of the PLP party, where he iterated that our population is so small, we desperately need to, one, expand our gene pool. Like, for instance, we have the BRCA, the breast cancer gene, floating around here. We need to expand our gene pool and decrease the chances that somebody is going to get it and pass it on. Second of all, he said we need to expand our labor pool, right? And if you note in the story about childhood obesity, in 20 years, we're going to have a major, you think it's a crisis now? We have a major labor crisis in the next 20 years. And the third issue they put on the table, Mr. Mitchell iterated, was the need to expand the tax base. The need to expand the tax base. So no, everybody on this show has said it is not wrong for the Bahamian people to be concerned about the large and ongoing influx of Haitians coming into the country. What is wrong, right, is this what you're doing? Let us have conversations that move us forward. What's the solution? Are we going to have a contract program? See, but that's the Haitians. Let's get to the more important part. What are you doing to help Bahamians build their labor skills and organize their labor? What are you doing to help them prepare themselves to participate in the opportunities that exist? And what are you doing to help them improve their service? You know how many of us are tired of waiting 5 and 6 and 7 and 12 days and 3 months for workmen to show up on the job, workmen that have been given deposits, workmen have started the work and they just stopped coming? Organized labor is what we need. Organized, coherent advocacy is what we need. That's what we need. Here's another text. Thank you, producer, for the reminder. You can't tell me do all the jobs. I graduate trade school in 05, making $12 per hour. I cannot compete with the cheap labor coming from Haiti and the cost of living in the Bahamas. You can if you organize your labor. You will work for yourself. Organize your labor. You get more dollars than cents. On those staggering social statistics you just read, must be serious enough for the government to make it a priority to address. Stop all corruption. It is. Good morning, Aaron. We need a national campaign that speaks to the dangers of sugar consumption. I am sure we will see a noticeable increase in the mental and physical health of school children at the nation and the nation at large. As we end the show, producer, I can go. As we end the show, the Bahamas Alzheimer's Association has already told us by 2050 we're going to have a crisis with dementia, which is a diabetes-related disease. So you got it. In the next 30 to 40 years, we're going to have a crisis on the top end with seniors and a loss of memory and the ability to take care of themselves, and a drastic crisis at the lower end with young people that can't function like young people because they're riddled with non-communicable diseases. The crisis is coming. Anyway, text, I can try take pictures of the text so we could go over them tomorrow. Thank you for texting in and for calling. Stay tuned, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.